Our next guest is a very good friend of the program who joins us each and every college football season. He's got a pretty big magazine you've probably heard of when it comes to the sport. None other than Phil Steele joining us now on the program. Phil, thank you for the time. How are you?
Hey, I am doing great, JJ. How about yourself tonight?
Very well. Thank you so much for asking. Glad to get you back on the program once again. We just got to know this. You've been doing this for a long time, Phil, when it comes to putting together this magazine. Obviously, you and none of us have handled the coronavirus before. How are things kind of different for you this year?
Well, there's a couple main differences this year, JJ. The first was when we sent the magazine to the press. In fact, the magazine's a six-month process generally. We start the Sunday after Thanksgiving and go all the way through the end of May. But in March, the state of Ohio shut us down. I'm coming to an empty office every day. The staff wasn't even allowed to come in. And that went on for about a month and a half to 2 months. And so at that point, I'm wondering if we're even putting out a magazine this year. Staff was able to return, talked to about 110 of the 130 head coaches, and they got me fired up. They were pretty much like, you know what, no spring, no big deal. Put the ball in the field, we'll be ready to play. So I was fired up for football at that point. We sent the magazine to the press July 8th, much later than normal.
Wow.
And the other difference this year is we're normally everywhere. We print a couple hundred thousand of these things, and they're in grocery stores, every bookstore out there. This year, they're only available at Barnes & Noble and Books A Million are the only two bookstores you can get them, or at philsteele.com. And we only printed one-fourth the amount that we normally do. Normally, a couple hundred thousand. This year, only 50,000 magazines.
Phil, we'll, of course, get into some individual teams and conferences in just a moment, but I wanted to get your take on the fact that, okay, so we have college football, and a lot of different schools are going to be doing different things with their attendance. Some are going to have a quarter capacity. Some won't have any capacity at all. When you're looking into strength of schedule metrics and you're looking into how a team is going to perform, obviously one of the key things is tough road games. How tough do you think, like how much easier will these road games get, especially if there's no crowd at all in some of these road venues?
Yeah, this should be the year where the visitors win at a higher percentage than ever before. I mean, the lack of crowd noise. Crowd noise helps you, you know, at the line of scrimmage. It helps your defensive pass rush. It helps your offensive line when the crowd is silent. There's a lot of advantages to the crowd noise. It helps momentum in a game. And I think what we're going to absolutely see this year is much less of a home field edge. In fact, the home field edges that I list in the magazine, you pretty much crinkle them up and throw them out the door because it's going to be very little home field edge. So I do think that this is going to be the year where the visitor wins more games than they have in any past year.
Phil, let's look at the SEC first and foremost. Obviously, a lot of, with this coaches poll coming out today, I believe six SEC teams ranked very highly in that poll. Start to sort out some of this, especially this SEC West for us, Phil. What are you thinking in the Western Division?
Well, you know, the SEC West is going to be a pretty tough division, right?
Absolutely.
Pretty much the same every year. But I think there's a clear cutting line this year where you've got the two new Mississippi schools. And I'll say this, first-year head coaches, the one thing I took from the coaches' calls is I really believe first-year head coaches are going to struggle this year. They need to come in, learn their team. They did not have the benefit of spring practice. And especially inexperienced teams or teams making a drastic change, like at Mississippi State with Mike Leach, taking up from a more of a run-based offense to a pure pass-based offense. He's always had the highest percentage of passes out there without the benefit of spring practice. I think most first-year head coaches are going to struggle, and I think that puts Mississippi, Mississippi State, and Arkansas all in that clump towards the bottom. So that leaves the top four teams there, and they're all capable of contending in the West. I went way out on a limb here, guys. I actually picked Alabama to win the West this year. I know it's a bit of a shocker.
Crazy.
But they've got my number one rated offensive line in the country, number two set of running backs, number three receivers. And the defense, remember last year they lost their All-American linebacker Dylan Moses, and another projected starter, Joshua McMillan, a linebacker prior to the year, has started a couple of true freshmen in Shane Lee and Christian Harris. Those guys are back as softs. Moses is back. McMillan's back. They had three freshmen starting on the defensive line that are all back. So I think Alabama's probably the best team. But, you know, I think A&M, LSU, Auburn are all capable of contending. And in this year of lack of spring practices, should make it pretty exciting.
Phil, I want to look at the defending national champions now down in Baton Rouge. They lost a lot going to the NFL draft last year, but they still have a lot of talent down there. What type of season do you see from them? Do you think they could have an outside chance of making the college football playoff again?
I think it's going to be tough. They are number 129 on my experience chart. And unlike Alabama, you know, Alabama just wins 11, 12 games every year, and it doesn't matter if they're 120 on the experience chart, 100, they just reload. This is the first year LSU has really had to reload to this proportion. I mean, not only were 14 players drafted, but they got 20 guys in NFL camps right now from last year. And while Miles Brennan probably throws a prettier ball than Joe Burrow and probably had a better arm than Joe Burrow, and he's 6'5 and 212, but you have to ask yourself, is he going to throw 60 touchdown passes like Joe Burrow did last year? I don't think so. And plus, they're breaking in a new co-offensive coordinator, and they're breaking in a new defensive coordinator in Bo Pelini. So you got all that going on. I think LSU takes a step back, not a drastic step back, though. In fact, defensively, they may be better than last year. I just don't see the offense coming near that 48.4 points per game they put up last year.
Talking with Phil Steele of his Phil Steele Publications and on the Thursday edition of Sports Call. Phil, let's bring things back closer to home. And right here in Auburn, what do you see when you look at the Tigers as we get ready for the 2020 season?
Well, my biggest question mark is what was not the question mark last year, which is the line play. And it's not that the defensive line's not going to be good. I mean, they've got Big Cat Bryant, Tyrone Truesdale, Derek Hall, Newkirk. They've got a very good defensive line, one that I rate number 23 in the country coming in. But they don't have Derek Brown. They don't have Marlon Davidson. They may have had the best defensive line in college football last year. So I look for a step back on the defensive line. Still very good, just not up to last year's standards. And the offensive line is a question mark for me because of what they lose on the offensive line. It's one of the least experienced offensive lines in the country coming back. They do have 34 career starts, but they lose a bulk of the starters from last year's squad. And I thought last year's offensive line was top-notch. So the line play concerns me a little, but the rest of the team, not as much concerns. I mean, Bo Nix is back at QB. And remember, he struggled on the road early last year, but I thought he improved as the season went on. You look at the receiving core with Schwartz and Stove and Seth Williams. There's plenty of talent there. The linebacking core last year was the inexperienced part. Now the linebacking core returns intact, so I like that unit. Secondary, a little bit of a question mark as well, but there are players back there. Auburn surprised me a couple times last year. I thought A&M would probably beat them and maybe Alabama. Auburn won both those games, so they usually surprise me more than expected, but they do drop from number 59 on my experience chart down to number 100, and I do have some question marks at the line of scrimmage where they're not as strong as they were last year.
A lot of people are curious what that offensive line will look like for the Auburn Tigers. More specifically, at quarterback, what do you think we can expect from Bo Nix as he gets ready for his second year as a starter?
Typical second-year starter after starting as a true freshman. I mean, let's face it, Bo had his ups and downs last year. He had some great moments. Also had some games on the road where he really struggled. I think you'll see that improvement, and it's typical. You know, you've got your second year under your belt. Now you've played the other ones, and I think Bo Nix is going to be a much-improved quarterback this year.
Let's look at the ACC for a moment, Phil, and now a new member. There are members in other leagues and or in other sports, but not in football. Notre Dame joining the ACC this year. How do you see that affecting the hierarchy of the ACC?
You know, prior to Notre Dame joining, I thought they were the most improved conference in college football, and they'll take you back to last year as an example. Last year it was Clemson, a Grand Canyon, and I don't even know if there was a second-best team in the ACC last year. In fact, I rated the ACC the sixth-best conference in college football behind the American Conference because there was really nobody else there besides Clemson last year. But this year, it was a much-improved conference. You look at North Carolina with Sam Howell at QB and 17 returning starters, a much more experienced team there. Miami had De'Ara King at the quarterback spot. Quarterback was their problem last year. De'Ara King had 50 touchdowns at Houston 2 years ago, 36 passing, 14 rushing. Instantly solves that. And they bring in Quincy Roche from Temple, who was the American Conference Defensive Player of the Year. Virginia Tech's got 17 returning starters. Pitt had three guys on the defense, turned down the NFL. They're going to have a top-notch defense. I thought the ACC was much improved already. Then you add in Notre Dame. And this is now the third-best conference in college football after being number six last year. That Grand Canyon that Clemson had, no longer. In fact, I think Notre Dame, when they host Clemson, that's only a 3-7 point game right there. It's a toss-up game. And if they play at North Carolina, let's say, in the ACC title game, North Carolina was a missed two-point conversion from beating them last year. So I think we're going to have a lot more fun with the ACC rather than, remember last year preseason, you thought, hey, Clemson's going to be a double-digit favorite in every game, and they were. This year, it's going to be a little bit different.
Talking with Phil Steele here on a Thursday edition of Sports Call, getting ready for this upcoming college football season. If we stay here inside the state of Alabama, Phil, and we take a look at some of those group of five schools within the state, whether it be UAB or South Alabama or maybe Chip Lindsey getting ready for year two at Troy, what do you forecast with those programs here in the state of Alabama?
Well, the one that's got me most excited is UAB. And Bill Clark, is this guy almost a magician type of coach? You go back to, the first year, he was coming off of 2 years and not playing. Nobody expected anything. They go 8-5. Then with an experienced squad, 2018, they go 11-3 and win the CUSA title. And then last year, oh my goodness, they only have 7 returning starters. They were probably the least experienced team in college football. And there's UAB at 9-5 at the end of the year. And now this year, 18 returning starters coming back. I love Tyler Johnson at QB. Remember, he got injured last year, and that was when they sort of lost a couple of their games. Spencer Brown didn't look like Spencer Brown last year. He should this year. They've got an Austin Watkins, a receiver. This is a dangerous UAB team led by a top-notch defense. So the UAB is the one that has me the most excited. Now, at Troy, I think you're going to see a much improved Troy this year. They do have to replace their quarterback in Caleb Barker, but Gunnar Watson should come in. He's got a good surrounding cast around him, and it's Chip Lindsey's second year. Lindsey is going to have an improved defense, and he feels much better about this year's squad than he did about last year's. In fact, I've got Troy rated on my most improved list at number 13 this year, so I think Troy has a much better year and actually gets to a winning record this season. And South Alabama, once again, they were an inexperienced team last year. They had no expectations, and they went 2-10. But Steve Campbell has by far the best team he's put on the field in his 3 years there. 15 returning starters coming back. I like Trotter at QB. I think he could do a good job. The offensive line's got 3 starters back. And Riley Cole at middle linebacker may be the best defensive player they have. You're going to see South Alabama start to win some games this year. I got a good respect for Steve Campbell. I think he's going to end up doing a good job there.
Now, Phil, looking around college football, your playoff picture right now kind of resembles most of what everyone says, Oklahoma, Clemson, Ohio State, Alabama. Is there a team in the Power 5 college football right now that you would consider a surprise team or a dark horse team that could get into that playoff at the end of the year?
Yeah, there's 2 of them I want to throw out at you. One I just talked about, North Carolina, and I mentioned how they did against Clemson last year, and if they get to the ACC title game, they'd have that opportunity again this year. The other one I'm going to throw out at you is a team you guys are very familiar with. It's Texas A&M. And it goes back to my conversations with Coach Jimbo Fisher. And, Fisher, last year when I talked to him, had brought in 2 great recruiting classes. He's now brought in 3. But 2 things really stood out to me last year in the conversation. The first one was they had very few seniors on the team. They had 4 or 5 seniors on the entire squad. And the second thing that stood out was they had a brutal schedule they had to face. And as it turns out, they took on number-one-ranked Clemson, number-one-ranked Alabama, number-one-ranked LSU, who plays 3 number-one teams in the same season, but also number-4 Georgia and number-8 Auburn. So they basically played 5 top-10 teams last year, and they lost 5 games. And I told Coach Fisher last year, I'm going to put you on my national cover next year. Well, next year's here. Schedule gets a little bit lighter. They have 17 returning starters, including Kellen Mond, who I list first-team SEC this year. I think he's going to be a vastly improved QB. They got my 13-rated offensive line, 12-rated defensive line. The linebackers and DBs both rank in my top 10. Keep your eyes on Texas A&M this year. I think they're going to have a much better year.
Follow him on Twitter, at PhilSteele042. Taking a look at college football. Phil, obviously, you said a little bit earlier you can get the magazine at Books A Million and Barnes & Noble to take a look at what you expect with this upcoming 2020 football season. We always appreciate our visits with Chris Van Dyne and the rest of your staff throughout this college football season. What else can people look for that you're putting out throughout the year?
Yeah, and the main thing right now is the magazine because we put out so few. I want you to get them before they are sold out.
Sure.
Barnes & Noble, Books A Million exclusively. That's the only 2 bookstores to look at. And then you could also go to philsteele.com. When you go to philsteele.com, you can order the magazine there. You can order the magazine digitally, or you can get the football newsletters on a weekly basis. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at philsteele042. That's at philsteele042. But Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, philsteele.com.
You're the best. We really do appreciate the time, Phil. We'll talk again soon, okay?
Hey, a lot of fun as always, guys. Have yourself a great offseason.